episode number 41 of the NLSC podcast. This week's episode is dedicated, of course, to Kelly Olynyk, which I know will make one of our podcasters very happy.
Oh my God, yes.
I am Andrew, joined by John, a.k.a. Zhao Sming.
Oh, Olynyk. This guy.
This guy right here.
The NLSC has become enamored with so many players, like the greatness of this Joel Anthony. Of course, Darko Milicic has had his time. Kelly Olynyk. Kelly. He's the new one. Shadow and I have already started with the signatures. He's the new NLSC mascot, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Olynyk putting on a clinic. But
yes!
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But we are also joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hello.
And we have a new member of the panel this week. For the first time, Leon.
Hey guys. Hello. Greetings from the Philippines.
G'day.
Hello.
Yep.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm sure it will go smoothly for you, and we won't make fun of you at all.
No. Yes, please. Yes. I need that.
Well, actually, I can't because actually, Leon and I actually, or Leon, sorry, and I know someone related to each other, and that. So yeah.
Oh, is that a girl?
Yeah. Oh no, not friend. One that used to work. One you used to work with.
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember her first name, but it was like Costata is her last name.
Can't remember. What does he do? Jerseys?
No. It wasn't a patcher. It was someone you used to work with as a teacher.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I got screwed up early. Karina.
Yeah, that's right. It was Karina. Yeah.
All right.
So that's going to do it for the That's going to do it for the NLSC podcast for this week.
Thank you. Goodbye. Why did you miss?
No, we do. We do have some fun topics to talk about this week. Basketball, video games, as always. A little bit of basketball, and even a little bit of FIBA Asia tournament this week. We have a couple of thoughts on that, or at least one of us does. So, shall we get right to it, gentlemen?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so I guess the big news this week is all to do with NBA 2K14. There's, I think, literally nothing to do with NBA Live 14 over the past 7 days or so. So it's all about 2K this week. And we've got a little bit of information. Is that not right, John?
Yeah, we do. So thanks to Ben and the other Ben, Benji. He was the first to post up the achievement list for the Xbox 360 or share on our forums. And of course, as the achievements do every year, they give us a nice look at the entire game since, you know, you have to do these things to get achievements and all that fun stuff. So we have,
I think every year they've spoiled something.
Oh yeah, at least. We have, it's got to be the cruise, which is getting a win as a part of a crew, which therefore, you know, succinctly implies that crew mode will be returning in NBA 2K14, which has been possibly teased the past couple days. We get 99 stars in LeBron Path to Greatness, which is obviously a LeBron-centric mode, which, you know, since we're doing star systems and everything, possibly similar to what we saw with the Jordan Challenge. And we also have an achievement for win the Sprite Slam Dunk Contest, which also implies that, hey, the thing's going to be on the disc since they can't give away achievements that are on the disc for DLC. So those are the big three modes there. There wasn't anything particularly new mentioned about association, my career, gameplay-wise, or anything of that nature. Virtual currency is coming back. The fan system for my career is returning. Winning all these games and other stuff in association is the same. So it sounds like we're getting more or less the same kind of game, but with these two or three new modes.
Yeah. And hopefully a few fixes as well. But
Yes.
I guess we knew that the most of the attention would be going to the next gen version, so that's not a surprise there. I mean, I'm not excited about crew, and actually, we do have a mailbag this week, just to give a preview of things to come. And one of the questions was basically, what do we think about the teaser and the possibility of crew coming back? And just to begin with my thoughts, I couldn't care less. To be honest, I don't play online. I mostly play on PC, so it doesn't interest me at all. But knowing how popular it is and how much people wanted to see it come back, I mean, great move. So it's great that they're actually listened to that and brought back something that's as popular. But as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I have no use for it. I might check it out if it's there in the next gen version, because I will be getting a PlayStation 4 and probably picking up the PS4 version just to check it out and review it if nothing else. But yeah, I couldn't care less. Sorry, guys.
Oh no, I mean I was in your boat. I didn't play Crew at all in 2K10, mostly because in the same or 2K11, and it's the same reason why I didn't play Live Run in NBA Live 10. You guys are the people that I would play with, and you're not playing online.
Oh,
so that's too strange. I'm not going to, you know, run off and get new friends.
Who needs that? We did actually have some fun games back in the day of online team play. I remember.
Yes, we did in Live 08. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, we also had community members community managers playing with us too, directly from EA.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how well that went. But you know, I'm excited to see it come back, and since it's a street focused kind of game, that's what makes me a little bit more excited than normal. It was in 2K10, we had three different street courts in the game. And this year, technically, we had three, but one was hidden. The Rucker Park Night was hidden. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to, you know, get my hands on these courts more than actually playing the mode.
Yeah. Spoken like a true modder.
Oh, yes. Like, my gaming experiences didn't explain that at all, but...
yeah.
Leon, do you play online at all?
No, given the time that I spend at work, really, I'm an introvert. I said, when I go online, you guys are asleep, or, you know, then just stay at the corner and cry. And... No, I'm just like Andrew. I stick with the PC. So, you know, the last NBA Live I played was NBA Live 08, and the rest was, you know, 2K to 2K13, but 2K13, you know, Jay-Z made me stay away from it.
So yeah, we can change the soundtracks now. We can change the soundtracks now.
Yeah, so, I asked Leptos on Twitter, you know, finally we could replace the Jay-Z songs. Now, he replied and said that, no, we did that to add more Jay-Z songs. So, okay, that's a nice idea. He's really a fun guy, you know.
That Leptos.
Yeah. Jay-Z made really you move guy. On to the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Saying a movie, dog. But... Ben, are you excited by Crew? Are you going to be checking it out on your PS3?
No, or PS4? No.
PS4? No, not at all. Yeah.
I rarely play basketball games online against others. I played, I think, Live 06 a little bit, and that was just only a couple of games. But yeah, no. I rarely play a lot of multiplayer games and that. So.
Well, we're going to have to, because you know, I'm getting the PS3 version of 2K13 the next couple of days. And I need someone to play against.
All right. Well, I better start playing because I haven't played in months. The game has collected dust.
Get on my level.
So I'm just looking at the other questions that Godzilla 94 asked us, and thank you again for sending in the questions, and everyone else for sending questions, which we'll be getting to in short order, or long order, because our podcasts usually run long. did we like the mode? Well, John's really the only one who played the mode and has already answered that.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for those who don't know, for whatever reason, you weren't a part of the 2K family 2 years, 3 years ago.
2K family.
It's a street mode. You take your My Career player, or you take a real NBA player. Actually, I forget. And create a team with other real life people. That was it. You have your own uniform. You have your own stadium and floor and all this fun stuff. And you create a team and you go up against other teams. Except they're not teams. They're crews. Get it right.
Yeah.
So kind of like NBA Street Home Court in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But online.
Yeah, and they still have the achievement for the my player online blacktop mode win thing, which was the 3-on-3 mode this year, which hopefully they get their stuff together and let you do 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, you know, let you choose if you want to run, you know, half court 3-on-3 or just go 1-on-1 against someone. which as online, that's something that's been sorely missing since I think it was 2K9. So,
is that the mystery hashtag that they're talking about?
Yeah.
I think it's been deduced that they are talking about crew, or it's been heavily suggested with all the clues. But do you guys think it could be anything else? I mean, it seems
it's definitely got to be crew. And there was something on Operation Sports that implied that it was for LeBron, saying that, you know, going for his third ring, so 3R.
Yeah,
3 years ago was the first Heat team. 3 years ago before that was the Cavs finals run, and then 5 years before that was his rookie year. But but 3 + 3 + 3 + 5 = 14. So
it's just, it's 2K14. So
exactly. Oh. It's a stupid marketing.
I saw
tried. Chris Smooth talking about that on his video the other day on YouTube. And yeah, you mentioned that post that was brought up on Operation Sports. So, it's an interesting theory, to say the least.
And people had theories that it was for Reggie Miller and for Phil Jackson for specific modes, or, you know, Reggie Miller just being in the game. But I'm pretty sure that the achievements would have reflected that in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I actually like your response, John. One of my favorite Jasmine responses in the forum. And I hate the roll eyes emoticon. It's my least favorite one. But you responded to that post with the hashtags, just with the rolling eyes, smiley. I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty appropriate response, really.
It's what I do.
Reported for spam. But smiley only post. Banned for life.
For that.
You mentioned LeBron and what it could mean, and obviously there's going to be a mode, LeBron Path to Greatness, whether it's a reskinning or rebranding, I should say, of creating a legend or something maybe a bit closer to the Jordan Challenge, like you said, or even become legendary from the cancelled NBA Elite 11, some concepts from all three of those previous modes, one of which, of course, we never got to play.
I have an idea for that. Maybe if we're going to have that, LeBron shouldn't beat the Celtics while he is with Cleveland. You know,
okay,
that the goal. You know, lose to Celtics for two straight playoff years,
disappear in games 5 and 6.
Yeah, don't shake Dwight Howard's hand. Sorry, Ben.
Hey, it's just a good way to introduce a new tanking mechanic.
Initiate choke mode.
Don't shoot anything.
Hey, they want to be accurate.
There's an actual choke rating in the game that just kicks in.
Commit turnovers for the last minute.
Get bailed up. I'm generally missing a free throw. Oh, that still burns me.
But our favorite poster of all time, Murat, a.k.a. Rudy, a.k.a. Badger, made a very good point. In the thread, actually, that if we're doing a LeBron-centric mode over his rise to greatness, as implied, that also implies that we're going to get some mid-2000s retro teams, which would be interesting to see, you know, who they pick for his rookie year, who they pick for, you know, finals runs, and if we're going to get one from every single year, which would be amazing. That would be great to have one classic team. You know, it sucks having LeBron so many different times, but to have one other, you know, classic team for the mid-2000s, that would be fantastic.
And unlike the Jordan Challenge, you could probably get a lot more of the players in the mode. They're actually in the NBA still, so
I would do anything for a Yao Ming classic team, okay? I was playing a mod with him, the 84 team retro mod, and just playing with Yao Ming put such a smile on my face. And it's just funny because 2K did all this stuff around him, giving him, like, you know, player-specific rebound animations so he doesn't jump, and dunk animations just because of him and all that fun stuff. And then the next year he retires.
Reminds me of a friend one of my cousins went out and bought a Shaq jersey, an Orlando Magic Shaq jersey, the day before he signed for the Lakers way back in 1996.
Ouch.
Yeah.
My mate actually got an authentic Shaq Orlando jersey and that, like, for like $10 or something. This is just after he'd signed with the Lakers, so they were giving away cheap as hell.
Yeah, all always wait. I bought a Ben Gordon jersey when I was in New York for the NBA Live 08 community event, and I'm just thinking, oh, please don't trade him. It's $170 for this authentic jersey. Please don't. And eventually, of course, he left. But so if anyone's looking to pick up an authentic Ben Gordon jersey for, you know, laughs, please PayPal. Yeah. So any other... what other NBA 2K14 news do we have this week?
Dunk contest. We get to play Guitar Hero on the PC.
I'm okay with that. No. I mean, I'll check it out and it'll be fun. I mean, I think my comment in the forum was it'll break up season mode and association my career. It's something fun, but from what I've been told, what I've read about it, I guess it's hard to get too excited about it because it does sound pretty awful.
Yeah.
But it's the principle of the thing that, you know, that we get the same. Same as the consoles, because apparently we're not going to get the shading or the lighting or anything else that we always have to mod in every year. So
reflections
or the closet, but all those other important things. So yeah, I mean that's cool, and I figured that was going to be likely. I mean, you couldn't make that DLC or a pre-order bonus 2 years in a row. There was no way that was going to fly.
Because I think like with the kind of reception that it's had, I don't think people would waste their money on it again.
No one's paying $5 for that. No. 2 years in a row. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else teased by the achievements at all?
It was
basically just those, wasn't it?
Yeah, the My Team thing, and that seems to be part of the My Career thing, is it? Or the part of the crew? I noticed.
Really?
I don't know. I just sort of noticed that some had, instead of My Career or My Player, it had My Team.
Well, what it said is
So I was assuming, is that part of the whole...
Isn't My Team similar to EA's Ultimate Team?
Well, yeah, and Ben should know since he actually has the console version of the game. The way it works...
I've only really played My Player on it. That's all I've done on it, really. I've not really... Uh-huh. And except for the 5 minutes of the Guitar Hero, that's all I've done.
Well, the My Team aspect is what I'm most looking forward to with my PS3 version coming in the mail any day, which is, I'm not going to get into that. Vermont mail, not really consistent. It's literally coming from 1 hour away from my house, and it's not going to get here till Saturday, I don't think. And I won the auction last Saturday and mailed out Monday.
Anyway. Hey, you want those spectacular views, you've got to put up with some lousy mountain service, you know what I mean? It's just, you can't have it all, John.
But I want it all!
What have they got on the back of a cat or something like that? Just see it.
Oh, whatever. It's
still Pony. Hey, Garfield, find this address.
Still Pony Express, I believe.
I'm just saying, I paid $14 for it. But the way My Team works, for those who don't know, on the PC version, you essentially get like it's like a trading card game, and you have to pay the players that you have on your salary.
I know that mod now.
And you get to choose what coach you want. You get to choose your uniforms, your court, and it's all online. You have to play against online opponents.
Yeah, now,
where it becomes interesting is that it says purchase 15 boosters in My Team mode, which those are just boost packs that you can earn with VC and, you know, buy them in the game. But what's interesting is it says 82-0, finish any team schedule in My Team. The way it's set up in 2K13, if I remember correctly, is kind of like a playoffs format where you start off at seed 8 and you work your way up to seed 1. And you have to win 8 games in a row against increasingly harder online opponents. This 82-0 implies that you have to win 82 games.
Wow.
Which I don't know, because I should probably load up the 2K13 achievements and just make sure, because we play on the PC. We don't have those types of things. And yeah, the only two My Team achievements in 2K13 is buying boosters and play a My Team game online. So this 82-0 is something new.
That reminds me a little of the, I think it was NBA Live 07 had the Be Online with 1,000 people at the same time achievement. You know, I wonder how many people actually got that.
Well, they did a couple runs that we missed out on a couple years
ago. Well, I guess at least 1,000 people got it if anyone did, but once. But
they got rid of the online servers, so that's not happening.
Yeah, so that's lost forever, yeah. And I'm very heartbroken about that, I have to say. It's going to haunt me on my profile, my gamer tag.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to Sony.
Yeah. Because nothing of that. Else that yeah, nothing else that Microsoft has done in the past 3 or 4 months. It's for our least favorite NBA Live game on the Xbox 360.
It's not least favorite to get NBA Live completion. Game, period.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have rather played that NBA Live 13 tech demo, whatever the hell that was. That abomination of you know, that leaked video. I would rather play that than play any time with Live 07. Yeah. Ugh.
There you have it.
For the 360. For the 360. Yeah. I'll say that. PC was bearable. 360, just no. But we have the dunk contest in it. No, that was a mutant remnant of what the dunk contest used to be.
I actually
animations.
That was
the
my
dunk
first
contest died that day.
That was actually my first community event, NBA Live 07, and I got to play that that game before. Well, I guess most people did. And if you can believe it, the version I played was even worse. You actually had players going up for the dunk and then suddenly appearing behind the backboard and then clipping backwards through it and dunking into the ring that had no net. So what you saw was actually a very clean-up version compared to and, what I played.
See, I'd rather play Elite than that. And Elite wasn't terrible. I mean, it made some stupid decisions with the controls, in my opinion. But, I mean, that was... NBA Live 07 was canceled on the PS3 for the PS3 launch. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. I should also say that the version I played was a very early beta.
Oh, yes.
none of that actually did happen in the finished version, but the...
It did.
Yeah. So not to the extent... I mean, I've got that game. I've played it. Not to the extent of the beta that I've played.
So, 2K14.
Yeah. No, NBA Live 07. Let's get back to the past.
3 hours episode on that. Break down its flaws. Wait, that would need to be a 6-hour session.
So... I believe Chris Manning, LD2K, mentioned one more sleep on Twitter. One more sleep until 2K, hashtag 2K14. So there's, by the time this is out, I'm guessing there's going to be some kind of official announcement, probably about Crew or whatever the 35335 hashtag and everything's about, I guess.
And isn't some like developer videos coming as well?
Ah, that's right, yes. Ronnie also mentioned getting back into the office and filming some developer insights, so it looks like we're going to get those again this year, which I thought was good last year. I mean, I like the blogs and I like detailed write-ups, but it was nice to have the visual aid to say, well, this is exactly what we're talking about and the comparisons. And I know, John, that you love the comparisons that bury last year's game. I know how much you love that.
Yeah,
but
I
do like
my mic so I could swear a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think it's a good move to keep doing as much media as possible. Actually. Oh, yeah.
And this is the thing that I don't understand. I know that both companies want to hold their cards close because there's competition. And as we saw with NBA Live 08, I believe, is when they first started with Synergy, or was it
09?
09.
And remember, when 09 was announced... Right at E3, they hit us directly with the NBA 365 DNA, you know, updated daily,
made fresh daily.
Yeah, made fresh daily. That was it. And all that fun marketing stuff. And
like
then all of a sudden.
Like Subway-based stuff, wasn't it?
Yes.
Subway.
And then all of a sudden, like 1 or 2 weeks later, 2K starts flouting about living rosters and how they had the 2K Insider, who has been a rousing success. And you know, how the living rosters are going to compete with, you know, 365 and all that stuff. And it's just funny that since then, both companies have shut up until about August when both games go gold.
Yeah.
And, you know, go on from there. It's just...
It's a boring time for us.
It is.
We pretty much have to speculate, but there's nothing to sink our teeth into.
And the thing I don't understand is why can't they just like do a cool play in 2K14 that even if it wasn't possible in 2K13, just a little replay, and it doesn't give away any features. It's just like, hey, look at how badass this game looks. And just like a short little clip, but it's all marketing. It's all that BS. And I just...
Yeah, BS. Yep.
Well, it'll begin soon enough, and then we'll actually have something to really talk about.
Yes.
And see how it's going. And of course, this is just the current gen version, because 2K14 is coming out on the current generation. So presumably, we're also then going to have the next wave of previews, because they haven't, apart from that next gen reveal trailer, they haven't actually said anything, have they? That much about next gen?
No.
It's all been current gen.
No hashtags.
No hashtags.
Yeah. No. Actually, they haven't done hashtags either. There's been no information about the next gen version.
Yeah, just that reveal trailer.
Yeah.
With Video Game James.
Yeah. Wow. That took way too much thought process for me to realize that.
Well, you have to think back. I mean, all the screenshots we've seen, I think we've got about 4 or 5 of them now, including the
blocking.
The blocks are back. One lot that came out last week. Yeah, it's all been current gen, and I guess that makes sense because the later release of next gen, and again, like you say, keeping the cards close to the chest, EA is not releasing on current gen at all, so they're not saying anything. They don't really have to show anything until, what, November, December at the latest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever the consoles are coming out, late November, depending on which...
October, hopefully.
October, yeah. Was that rumor that you were...
Yeah, I just saw some rumor on NeoGAF saying that possibly October 21st for the PS4, which would be amazing, but...
I've heard December 13 as well, so it's all varied at the moment. But, if it's October 21, I need a 9-to-5 quick.
I need to do more surveys and get gift cards.
Yeah,
there we go.
Actually, that's my option too. I'll need to get that link off you again to start doing those surveys.
I've got about $215 worth of gift cards now to put towards it. So it's almost halfway there. So that's not too bad. Not that I can't afford it outright, you know, wealthy as I am. But you know, when you're investing in a new system, well, it's considering you have to buy, as we've said before, a second controller and anything else. A
couple of games.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just have a pretty box just sitting there.
Yeah.
Last of Us.
Yes.
Which would have been a Xbox One if you forgot to do the 24-hour check-in on the original policy.
There you go.
Hang on. You said pretty box. I don't have the one.
Yeah, true. Qualifies, yeah.
But yeah, they haven't said anything about the next-gen version yet. Presumably, maybe that will be closer to September or even October, depending on the release of that. But in the meantime, we've got under 50 days until the release of 2K14 on current gen, and presumably we'll have a demo sometime late September, which, as we've said before, will no doubt impress us with its myriad of features. Loops. Yep,
the 2-minute quarters.
2-minute quarters. Yep, and that's the thing. I think I've said it before, but you were on me for a couple of years, John. You know, you got to try 2K. You got to try 2K, and I tried the demos, and I'm like, what's so great about this? I was not getting the full picture at all.
Yep.
So then,
no commentary, like no presentation whatsoever. Barely any audio. No music playing while you're playing the game.
Default sliders. You know, nothing.
You couldn't do any play calling, it was just so stripped down. And
the number one simulation, yes, John, sure.
Lay off that water, John. Yeah. It's not doing you any good.
But you know, I bit the bullet and got NBA. Mind. I bit the bullet and got NBA 2K10 and the actual full version, and yes, much more impressive.
ISO motion, right?
Except for the damn ISO motion, yeah. Thank you for changing that in 2K13, 2K Sports. That was fantastic.
I know we have our report with us three, but Leon, when was the first 2K you played?
I believe it was 2K9.
So how was your adjustment to ISO motion?
You know, I tried it first using a keyboard. It's not really fun using a keyboard. Okay. Yeah. You're going to ruin the keyboard. I think I had my keyboard replaced because of that, you know. So I had a real controller, so, you know, it was better. But I did enjoy 2K10 better than all of the recent NBA 2K releases. So,
really?
That's someone's phone or at least radar?
I think it's just a preference, you know. But 2K13 made up for it because of the shoes.
Of course.
Yes, of course. It's all about the shoes. And I really, 2K10, I had a great time, but with 2K11, I had most of my time wasted with my player and the Bulls Association, so really.
And being stuck in the D-League, come on!
Yeah, it was 2K10, I was stuck in the D-League in 2K10.
Actually, you know what, and just to go back to the achievements, it made me very depressed to see that there's an achievement for being a lottery pick, and there's nothing about coming out of the D-League or anything. Very depressing, Leftos, get on your stuff.
Hi, Leftos.
Oh, Leftos is listening.
Yeah.
As always.
He's always probably our only listener right now.
No. Not our only listener, but perhaps the only one that's listening, hoping that we'll screw up. But yes. No, he's been very supportive and posted a very nice tweet, actually, last week about how much he's enjoying the podcast. And with and struggling over our words as I am right now. But yeah, if that's any, if that's all the 2K14 news this week, shall we move on to the next topic, gentlemen?
Yep.
On to the next one.
So I've got this here, and since we are giving our impressions on basketball games, I guess it's a an appropriate one. Talking about pet peeves in basketball games, and I've been thinking about this since this one's you suggested, John, and I've got one that's bothered me in the last couple of NBA lives because I am Australian, as you can probably tell by the accent. That's just
really,
yeah. I know.
You are?
I know. Yeah. It's hard to believe, I know. So I'm Australian, and thus I'm playing in a PAL region. And the PAL versions of the last couple of NBA Live games have the measurements in the metric system. So it has the player heights in centimeters and the weights in kilograms, as opposed to feet and inches and
pounds.
And, I mean, I obviously use the metric system. I grew up with it. I was born in 1984. The metric system came into Australia in the 60s, so that's what I learned at school and everything, you know, what I grew up with, what I use in day-to-day life. But when it comes to basketball, I think of imperial measurements because that's what the NBA does. And it's just so distracting to just see the overlays come up when you're at the free throw line, for example, and it's got, at the time, let's see, I would have been playing NBA Live 10. So Ben Gordon, Chicago Bulls, you know, 190, whatever, what was he, 6 foot? 191, 192 centimeters, something like that, rather than 6'3". And it's just distracted from the presentation. And it, again, a pet peeve, but it's just those little things that take you out. Much like the commentary, whenever the commentary breaks the fourth wall, like if you accidentally hit the shoot button from full court and it says, oh, he has to read the manual. Ugh. It's funny the first couple of times, and then you think, this just ruins it. So those two little presentation elements, those are my perhaps biggest pet peeves. In basketball games. John, yours?
Well, I just want to make mention that for whatever reason, internally, 2K uses the metric system for player heights.
Okay.
Thinking about how 2K's height system has kind of been off, like plus or minus an inch for some players, it's starting to make sense now. But
because 2K actually lets you switch between the two, does it not?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so I guess that's the problem.
But internally, it doesn't matter if you're imperial or not. It just does it by metric. But
which is weird. I mean, if it was developed by a European developer, then yeah, it's strange.
But it's their own engine too. So I don't know. Whatever. They're weird. Yeah. Bunch of weirdos over there in Novato. The one thing,
crazy
and I'm
a Greek guy, so yeah, it makes sense.
The one thing that I hope Leftos is listening to this. This is the biggest pet peeve of them all. If I take NBA Live 10, if I take NBA 2KX, if I take any of the recent games from this generation, I will always see this friggin' new icon on all these menu items. And it enrages me to no end. I was playing the other day, and I pressed start, and all of a sudden I just had this new icon next to signature skills just flashing in my eyes, and I just want to punch it. Every time I load up NBA Live 10, you know, new NBA DNA. It's like, okay, you've been inactive for 2 years. It's not new. And I know these games aren't meant for replayability for the year after. They're supposed to be replaced year after year after year after year. We're weirdos for going back to play Live 10, play Live 09, play 2K11, and all these older versions of the game. And so it's technically our fault, but I would just want there to either be an option to turn these damn things off, or ideally that they just go away after you click on them once. It's not new.
Well, you talk about going back. I mean, even after a month or two of the game, if you're playing it for 8 or 9 months of the year, for those of us who pick it up on release day or near enough, it's only been new for about a week, really, till you've seen everything.
Right.
And I've seen other games do it too, John. You've played some of the recent WWE games, haven't you? The SmackDown series. And they were doing it too. 2HQ was doing it too. And I'm sure now that 2K is doing it.
Yep.
You know, my wrestler will be the new feature. So it seems to be a trend. And yeah, it would be nice to have, much like a forum, mark as read, or once you go into it the first time and saves your settings, yes.
But my actual pet peeve with the game, I mentioned this last week during the podcast, the set piece commentaries. and how they always repeat for the same player under the same conditions for each specific team. I would just really rather them just open that up to be open for any player that meets certain criteria rather than the same player every time. And it just annoys me to always hear about the same Rondo story every time you play with the friggin' Celtics.
And Dorisburg. Now, and now
they're talking.
Impression again, but yeah.
And now they're talking about Pierce and Garnett now that they're gone and they're not on the team anymore.
It's rubbing it in, really.
Yeah.
Remember when your team used to have these players? Well, sucks to be you.
They're not there anymore. Remember Pierce? He's your favorite guy. He's not there anymore.
Remember your account on the forums, Lian?
Nope. Obviously. No general top guy.
Remember your wheelchair hero? He's now gone. He's moved on.
Oh, he's still in Miami. His name's Dwayne Wade.
That's cutting deep.
I need to be alone, please. Our forum meme. Ben, what are some of your couple of your pet peeves when it comes to basketball gaming?
What the hell was that noise?
That was a new one.
Oh, it's a spaceship. It's over here. From here. From my side. Sorry, I forgot to mute.
Discovered alien life right here on the LSC podcast.
Yeah,
the same aliens are after PD. Baron Davis are after you.
Yeah, unsurprisingly,
it's proof that we're not alone in this universe.
Sam Cassell.
Yeah. He just wants to phone home. Pet peeves for me: some stupid AI logic that happens, like what looks like the player's inept ability to sort of see past 2 feet past their eyes. There is that perfect example of a video that I have posted on YouTube, and just absolutely ticks me off. It's just, I give this player the ball, and they're like right underneath the basket. There's another player, like defensive player, about 3 meters away from him, and instead of just going straight up for the basic layup, he like takes some stupid dribbles and then passes it right into a defensive player's chest and then goes rebounds off the player's chest and goes outside the baseline. And it's just like, what the hell is that crap? You know, just those little moments that just sort of tick you off.
Shooting into the back of the backboard. And
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, they're just the players that just seem like dumb as bricks. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping will be erased in the next coming generation. So fingers crossed, and I mean that fingers crossed because it's pretty freaking bad when we've progressed this far in gaming development and all that the AI still has some of those little weak points.
Yeah, Lian.
All right, so my pet peeve, I don't know if you could count this as one, since I've been playing 2K for, 4 years, 5 years now, it's pretty minor. Since I've been using the Bulls in my association mode, and I just don't like how the 2K's default textures are with their team jerseys, especially teams that have red jerseys, because, you know, see them in pink.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just nice. Or you know, sure we can mod it. You know, Ben and I can do that. Conrad can do that. And a lot of the guys at the forums can do that. But a lot of people aren't really aware about patches. So you know, if they're playing their games out of the box and they use the Bulls and I don't know, Rose is wearing pink. Yeah.
On the consoles.
Yeah. So if they see that, you know, I don't know if they notice that, but a lot of the years has passed and 2K's jerseys have been, I don't know if they're a bit dull or I don't know if there's really not quite enough color to it, you know, especially with teams with red jerseys. You know, it's just me seeing those pink jerseys on the Bulls.
It is a pet peeve, and then we've addressed it, I think, the last couple episodes of the podcast, and
yeah,
I've explained why that there's some errors in that, and yeah, it's just the conversion from one file format to another. So but there is a simple way to do it. But I know they have the developers. I mean, EA has had some mistakes on colors, but they've been far closer. Like Live 10, the blue for the Orlando Magic wasn't quite right. Like it was just a little bit too to royal blue, I think would be the word for it, for their uniform and that. So, you know, there's been a couple of instances where they've gotten it as wrong as well. So, I think once the guys start using the right conversion tools for it, then the colors will look a lot more accurate to what they should. And that's why I'm available to help any developer out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just Arcane throwing it out there. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that one thing, and, you know, another pet peeve. Sorry if I'm going overboard with this one. You know, the ability to not to change the accessory colors without using Redditor for 2K games. You know, I miss the old times where I just use Microsoft Excel to edit accessory colors for the jerseys, for the team jerseys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have Leftos' tool for that, but I mean, it's unfortunate that it's got to be so difficult on our end, on the PC for modding, but I dream of the day when we can change these colors in-game and do these things inside the game, like WWE's create a wrestler, or created attire, where you can re-skin the wrestler's attire. I would love to be able to take the Heat uniform and make it pink. Or, I mean, but you know what I mean? Where you just take the actual uniform and play with the contrast and colorize bit.
The reds that they have used in some of the Miami Heat uniforms have been a bit pinkish. So, you're halfway there.
Fluoro pink.
Yeah. Okay, neon. So like the Floridians, Miami Floridians pink.
Oh, the Floridians, jersey.
I think it's more like the 2K11 Clippers away uniform pink. That thing was just wow. In 2K.
Like sleeping pajamas pink.
Yeah.
Breast cancer awareness pink.
Yeah, the they've got the WNBA merchandise that not WNBA, it is NBA merchandise, but it's like the women's line that makes
NBA for her.
NBA for her, that's it, yeah. Like that stuff. So I mean, those are some of our pet peeves, but what would be the one thing that doesn't prevent you from playing the game per se, but really makes you want to like quit out of a game and just, you know, pop the disc out, put it in the shelf, go play something else, or go outside, go for a run or something.
Go play a first-person or a third-person shooter just to vent.
Yeah. What's the one thing that just like, oh, that's...
Jay-Z.
It's the one thing, yeah.
Jay-Z and Rihanna.
Point guard dominance, glitches and stuff like that, a fourth quarter glitch where you can't buy a basket, but the AI will seem to be able to jack up and nail like a quarter court or three quarter court jump shots and all that. And it's like, really? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's mine too. Just when the CPU flips that middle finger.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's time for me to win. It's time for me to be challenging. I'm going to hit the turnaround fadeaway 35 foot shot with you draped all over me, and then I'm going to say, allow man to score in my career mode, deduction, when you force them into this BS 35-foot fadeaway, you know, that's what makes me think, rage quit on the CPU. Yeah, I'd really like to see it on the next gen, eliminated with proper artificial intelligence that plays smart, not just, okay, it's time to flip that switch, and now I'm just going to flip the finger, and you are not going to win.
Activate Sloan's Sabbath rage face.
There's this one time that, you know, I played NBA Live 2003, and I was using the Sixers with Allen Iverson with them. His stats was, you know, speed and quickness at 99, and there's this fast break play against the Celtics. I had AI rush down the court for a layup, fast break score, and I saw Paul Pierce blazing from the backcourt, you know, getting ahead of AI. You know, with AI just coming out of the bench, fully replenished, fatigue, and, you know, 99 quickness and 99 speed, and, you know, see Paul Pierce blazing, get ahead of him, fast break. You know, just that was a rage quit for me.
Yeah, I hated that too. And you like seeing a center being able to keep up with a quick point guard, and it's like, no way that could happen. Not to that degree.
We saw that in 2K12, I believe, the catch-up bug as well. That was which they kind of fixed in 2K13, kind of. I still felt the CPU had a bit of an edge there. If the CPU wanted to keep up with you, it usually found a way.
For me, the biggest thing that makes me want to load up BeamMG and just absolutely wreck a poor defenseless car with the soft body physics is when I lose control of a user-controlled player. Whether it be the CPU was saying, oh, no, no, you want to defend this player on the wing, so we're just going to keep doing this animation running towards the wing, even though you're trying to play some help defense, or trying to go hedge a screen and you end up running into the backcourt, which is a really strange one that happened to me yesterday. Those poor cars. But there's just those little instances where it's like, okay, the Kobe's coming down the lane. I'm just going to draw a charge. I'm not going to jump for this. And no, nope, you're going to do a jump animation because we're, you know, that's how our animation works. It's still in the game. Yeah. They haven't fixed it. They haven't fixed it all.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like, one of those moments when I broke one of my PC controllers is because I was pushing. I think I was either pushing straight ahead or diagonal down to go, but in a forward momentum, but sort of going down to the bottom of the baseline for the baseline cam and all that to sort of go around. But the player goes up into the damn stadium donors, and I'm like, there was a fair bit of swearing, and then there was a controller thrown and broken, and that was a huge rage quit moment for me. Rage phase had been met.
Well, unfortunately, you've decided to go with the PS4 next generation, and the Xbox One controller has been specifically designed to be able to be rage thrown and still survive, or whatever that controller video was. Whatever.
I think it's very telling that as a society, Microsoft looked at the controller and thought, you know what? We need to make these rage quit throw proof.
Yeah.
What's the most violent thing you do when you rage quit?
I take it out on those BeamNG cars. I really don't do anything physical, and I mean, yeah, just no. If I ever got to the point where video games for me made me do something physical, like I actually throw a controller,
All right.
I've smashed a radio host guy.
What? Like,
we're playing like the Pizza Hut near my place. They had a thing going on with one of the radio stations here, and they had the whole Wii set up and all that, and it was had that Wii tennis game going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and yeah, I kind of smashed the host guy with a swinging arm.
Wow,
I think we mean purposeful.
Oh, okay. I still just wanted to go for a shock reaction and just see how you guys would react to that. It's like, what?
What the hell are you talking about?
Seriously, just breaking three PC controllers is probably the worst I've done. And then smashing a desk. But I will say this. There has been no TV remote insertion into anyone's orifice. So.
Oh, that video.
Yes.
But if you do, please note us.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be mine. It's going to be someone else's, whether it be a developer's or a leftist warning.
Well, it's so nice to meet you. Turn around.
How do you want
it? The hit on YouTube if you put that video online. Of just,
yeah.
Just walking calmly into the offices for a community event and just, oh, hi, how are you going? And just suddenly grabbing some computer equipment and then just, yeah. Rate, comment, and subscribe, and it'll all. Yeah, yeah, I don't think.
More, subscribe. Yeah.
Subscribe to my channel. For. I don't think I can beat that. I've never actually broken anything to the best of my knowledge. Certainly dropped pretty much every vile piece of profanity known to mankind or extraterrestrials. but.
You have your own little dictionary now with a few new.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was making a profanity that hasn't been thought of yet.
I could just see you sitting there swearing at a database file.
Yes, well, sometimes we every so often we change the design at the NLSC, and whenever you do web design or patching or anything to do with computers, really, because especially since I fix them for a living, there certainly is times when I tell technology exactly what I think of it, and it's not always very positive.
See, if you really wanted to be smart about it, you'd swear in binary code just so it would understand you better.
It's like, oh, you stinky little 0110. Everyone who listens, who understands binary listening right now, is, oh, you filthy mouth.
be surprised they know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you 001. Don't you 001 me.
Yeah.
Pearl 110 you.
Go wash out your mouth with 110 1100. Yes.
Yeah, for me, the most violent thing I did, you know, for rage quitting was dropping my both hands on my keyboard. And, you know, you could see the dirt from under the keyboard go up. So
then, smash. You know,
yeah. And I don't know. Maybe next time I should do a checklist of all the profanities that I'd be using. So if I say this, you know, just put a check mark. And, okay. So if I have the checks on all of them, then I'll just quit the game completely and just do something else a lot more productive.
Yes, we should start a meditation class, I think. For
yeah.
you feeling stressed by patching or video gaming? Everybody just sit down. Are you all ready? All calm? Ready to start? Okay, let's go. Breathe deep and then just yeah.
Well, one of my
it's untapped. We haven't done this yet. We've done a lot of things in our community, but we haven't done that.
Well, one of my last jobs, because I worked at a community center for like nearly, well, just 2.5 years, and that we actually had anger management sessions in that. So, yeah, that was one way I could have probably relieved some stress and therapy and that. But it was, but for me, I just played video games and shot people in the face with it.
And got angry at the video games.
Twice the anger, yeah. Sir.
This isn't working! We know what we're doing. Yeah. But yes, we need some modding yoga to calm us down when things don't go right. But speaking of modding and things going right, we've had a few more developments in the community, John. And I know you brought this up because since you've got your finger on the pulse, being our guru of modding. So
I love it because the person in the comments for the mailbag said, let's talk about shoes or something like that. And I'm like, all right, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know, it's funny because I pay attention to this stuff, but I don't. I want to, you know, get more involved with the community through the YouTube channel.
There you go.
Showing off these things. There's a couple of big releases that are very important that I just want to make mention of. First, the NBA 365 mod, which Lakers 92 is doing, and he's updating daily with off-season transactions, all the new art for the Pelicans. He's got all the. It's a big compilation. Rookie cyber faces. It's got pretty good ratings. And put it this way, I protect my original files like nothing else. I have a backup installation of the game in case I need to get original files. But even still, my working installation, I still try to keep everything all legit as much as I can for when I actually make mods. I don't depend on another one. I have overwritten original mods or original files to play this, and it is worth it. He has a great team. I definitely recommend checking out the NBA 365 mod. It's just perfect. We have Bliss, who has been wowing us with his screenshots. He has some kind of crazy voodoo filters that he uses on his screenshots. I know he's downsampling them, but they look amazing. And he's actually taking the static uniforms, the ones that don't move, and sculpting them, because we can change the 3D models of those so that they actually fit like the NBA Revolution uniforms. So they're really thin on the players, they're skin tight up top, and they're shorter on the short length. And they look fantastic. Like, just perfect, perfect, perfect. And the last thing I wanted to make mention of was the WNBA mod. Recently just got a roster update. And it now has cyber faces that, again, I mentioned before, actually look like girls, which is amazing for this game. And the faces look good. The gameplay is good. The rosters are mostly accurate as far as I know. I don't really pay attention to the WNBA, but it's really led to the discussion. When you start up 2K nowadays, you have to create a player, you know, that is, you know, ideally modeled after you so you connect with them. And I know there's female basketball gamers. I mean, we still have a couple kicking around the forums.
That we haven't scared off yet, yeah.
That we haven't scared off yet, yes, of course. Actually, she's been around, the Amber one has been around for quite some time. And I know there's a couple other ones that are around too. Fran's been gone for a little while, unfortunately. Oh. But
she's a girl.
Yes, she is.
I met her. I met her once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think Mickey also got to meet her as well.
Yeah, they're on the same school.
Yeah. Forgot about Mickey. Anyway,
Mickey Day.
So I missed all.
Sorry, man. Andrew Stahl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one who got me into patching.
Yeah.
It's all his fault.
I think I broke him with all the shoe request patches.
Oh, you.
More shoes.
Yeah.
We can't escape it.
Nope.
But the main thing I wanted to bring up with this was that since we've seen success with this mod, and there's been actually a lot of support coming out, you know, in general on Twitter and just random places in support of this mod, is it about time for 2K to start incorporating females into the game? Now, a full WNBA, you know, implementation is a little much. I mean, we saw in NBA Street Home Court, there was actually WNBA players in it, and that's an EA game. So I really think that they're missing out by not having the option to have a female My Career player and play in the NBA, or just have a WNBA, you know, the league. There's only I think it's 15 teams, and having those in that, you know, in the game itself. It just seems like both companies are missing out here, because I know there's female gamers out there that want to play not as, you know, some guy in their career.
Yeah.
Just saying NBA, WNBA players in home court made me realize that the NHL series for the EA actually has female players. You can be a female My Player, essentially, in the NHL games, which is very rough and tumble, very, you know, get into fights and everything.
Yeah.
And you can be a female in that, but you can't in the NBA.
Well, I mean, I think they're definitely going to have to do it as a sub mode or a bonus content for the NBA game. And we've talked about women's sports before and everything. I don't think that it can really support a release, a standalone release.
Oh, yeah, no.
WNBA 2K. Or maybe one day it can, but you certainly have to do that soft launch through the main game first.
Maybe
so yes, yeah,
I mean, DLC.
Why not? Even DLC, people might pay, $5 or $10 just to have that officially in the game with the audio and everything. But whether they're going to pay enough for a AAA title, perhaps not. Maybe it doesn't have quite the same following. But I mean, the WNBA is I'm not sure the exact corporate structure, but it is basically owned by the NBA, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all affiliated. It's all under the same corporate umbrella, so it shouldn't be that much of an issue to get for licensing or anything, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, doable, absolutely, and I think that would be a good way of giving it a try.
Sure.
Would you guys play it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you have this mod installed on your copy of 2K right now?
I don't have it installed.
Oh,
because of JC.
Because I play it on PS3.
You don't play it on PS3, so you... Okay, Andrew.
Because of the excuse I'm struggling to come up with.
Hold on, you're talking about the live version for this WMA mod?
I'm talking about the mod. I mean, it's funny because I did a video saying, oh, you know, you guys, would you actually play a WNBA game or a mod? And everyone said, yeah, that'd be cool. You know, if people actually put the time into it, made it right, and, you know, it's realistic, they're not dunking, and... you know, all that kind of fun stuff, then yeah, it'd be real interesting to play. And now that it's out, I've kind of seen a dwindling of support, which is why I wanted to make sure I mention it here.
Yes.
And even though it's getting, the patcher support has increased, but it feels like it's being talked about less, even though there was that initial support for it, which is why I'm bringing this all up.
Yeah, I guess it's the surprise factor. At first, like, oh, that's really cool. And then, like, oh, well, I think after a while, sometimes we take mods for granted, really.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that's cool, but we've seen someone do it already. Until the next big innovation, you know, which is disappointing because obviously still people putting a lot of great work into it, and he continues to update it. And with the new face packs, which look amazing, you just shot through one of the recent previews, and yeah.
Well, so I mean, you said it takes it away from it. So does the EuroLeague announcement, you know, come watered down because we've had that for years and years and years on the PC version?
Well, you know, a lot of people. Or certainly a fair few people I've seen in the comments, either on the news posts or in the forum, have said, you know, why? You know, there have been people that wonder why bother having the EuroLeague teams in. They say, well, no, we don't watch the EuroLeague. We want to watch NBA. Or why don't we have more historical teams? I mean, for me, it's bonus content. Bonus content's bonus content. They haven't removed any, as far as they've said, any historical teams to get EuroLeague teams into the game. It's not the most exciting thing for me, but people do want it, and it's something different. So sure, I don't think it waters it down. I think it's exciting to actually have it in the game officially, where you've actually got the audio. It's right there out of the box, so you don't have to wait for all the modding tools to come out and all the compatibility to be worked out with the modding to actually get it done. But yeah, I think when it actually comes to mods, sometimes we do take it for granted, just a little.
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking through this thread with the WNBA one. So the work that's been done on that, fantastic.
Yeah.
Much respect to those hard workers, and they definitely deserve to get more recognition for it, and hopefully they get a lot more downloads for it, just for the effort. So.
Yeah, and this late in the patching season,
yeah,
if you will, for them to be those innovations and such, and you know, I suppose we talk about it every year. Hopefully 2K14, the file format hasn't changed that much, especially since the focus is going to next gen, presumably, and the current gen won't have changed that much. If the formats are the same, hopefully we can start these big mods earlier in the year, and maybe that's got something to do with it as well, John. Just the time of year,
yeah.
Because it is getting late in the patching season. Because we are, as I said, we are under 50 days away from A2K14 coming out on current gen, including PC.
Yes, and that's true. It's just. This time of year is always interesting because it's always the best mods are coming out for the current game.
Yeah, we've had a year or so to perfect.
And then we're going to a new one. And it's I'm anticipating no changes from 2K13. I'm almost going to go as far as to say that it'd be very easy just to find new offsets and get Leftos's roster editor working with the 2K14 save. I don't know if he's actually done work on it or not, but I mean, it just seems like it's going to be a very similar format. And considering that we had 2K12 if files that actually worked in 2K13, which was unheard of before, previously in this series, I think it leads credence to that. Never mind the fact that we can take models from 2K11 and get them into 2K13. It's just, I just wish it goes well, but I've been feeling the need lately to focus more on actually playing the game than modding it, which is weird. But we talked about all of that last week.
Yes. Yes. So looking at the list of topics, I guess it's time to move on, unless you've got anything else to mention about any upcoming mods. I think we've covered most of the base stuff.
I think so.
Okay. So, Leon, it's your time to shine. The Philippine National...
What time to shine? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is the Philippines portion of the podcast.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So maybe I just came in just to talk about this. It has been a crazy week for basketball here in the Philippines. The Philippines being a basketball crazy country. John knew about it, about the book you read. I forgot the title of that. Yeah,
Beerman and Sandals or something like that.
Yeah,
I forgot.
I forgot the title. I saw that book once in the local bookstore. The 27th FIBA Asia Championship was held here in Manila for the first time in, I don't know, decades since was the last time held here. Was supposed to be held in Lebanon, but it was I don't know what happened. Maybe the violence there, local disputes. So. Private authorities here in the Philippines pushed this to FIBA to hold the event here in Manila, and it went on very well. Iran won their third straight FIBA Asia Championship, and these guys are monsters, man. They haven't lost a single game. They haven't lost a single game, and Ahmed Haddadi, that guy, was the MVP of the tournament. But yeah, of course, I'm not gonna talk about Iran. Yeah, so I'm gonna. That's why I'm here, you know. Philippines. I'm a bit biased, but the Philippine national team finally made it back to the World Championships of basketball since the last time they were there. I don't know. The last time the Philippines made it to the World Cup of Basketball was, I don't know, 1980s. I wasn't even born yet when they made it. The last time they made it there. The current lineup of the national teams, were composed of professional basketball players here in the Philippines from the Philippine Basketball Association, and the outpours of support from the local fans had been crazy. Jam-packed arenas every day, every time the Philippine team played. Amazing. And there's this game, the semifinals, when the Philippines faced Korea. It was somehow a very, well, it's a semifinals game. It was a knockout game. If the Philippines lost, they will be going to the battle for third place. The arena was packed, and they were expecting Korea to win because they got a lot of shooters. And there's this jinx against Korea. When every time the Philippine team would face Korea in any basketball tournament, they would kick our asses off and knock us out of contention. And they almost did. It just happened that at one point in the fourth quarter, they did a LeBron, and can't say they choked, but our shooters just came out, and our big men, well, if you could call them big, because Filipinos are really undersized, they came out strong at the end. And, you know, when the final buzzer sounds, Philippines won the semifinals game and guaranteed us a spot at the FIBA World Championships. And at the end, Iran were hailed the champions, and the Philippines are at second, and Korea being at number three. So Iran, the Philippines, and Korea are going to the FIBA Asia Championships. And surprisingly, China isn't going to be part of the FIBA World Cup of basketball. So I think it's the first time in a long while that China isn't going to be there. It was a surprise to a lot of countries to see China fall. Maybe they're talking about not fielding in Yi Jianlian or Wang Zizi, because a lot of the guys from the Chinese team are young guys, and they're talking about maybe the Chinese team isn't their real national team, or are they just preparing for future tournaments by developing younger guys? But you know, China isn't there, so it's Iran, Philippines, and Korea. Yeah, and just to show you how cute our guys are, yeah, here's a meme, local meme. So that's Haddadi and our 2-point guards. See how short they are, really.
There is a significant height difference, to say the least.
Yeah,
their head goes up to about Haddadi's nipples.
Yeah, that guy is very, very good at the post, maybe given his height. I think it's 7 feet. 2 inches. All he needs to do is stand at the middle, give him the ball, and he's just going to dump it into the ring, and instant 2 points for Iran. Wow, this has been great. And after that Korean game, literally, we were crying here at home. Man, come on, the Filipinos are back at the world stage. Who knows if we're going to get beat up by other countries, but man, we're back in the FIBA World Championships. This has been big. Yeah, crazy. The last time we were in the championships was, I guess, 1980s, and the last time we won a world title was from 1964, I guess. I just read that earlier. But it was a long time since we were relevant in the basketball world. So, yeah.
But a lot of passionate fans, as we know.
Yeah.
Before.
So, yeah. It's practically
people.
A religion there.
Yeah, almost. And then almost every block, you see a basketball court, you know, size of a quarter court, a board made out of wood. So it's a household game, it's a household sport. A lot of people storming the arena. Even the president watched the last game. Maybe that's why we lost, you know, because our president watched. But anyway, there's a lot
too
of
pressure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Maybe the last game was a blowout in the fourth quarter or in the second half. Iran moved away, but a lot of the people believe that the Philippine team fought their hearts off. For me, just watching from the TV set, yeah, experience has been great. And I wasn't even at a single game live. And, you know, I just felt the emotion of all the people there. It's just amazing. And, yeah, days after that, Kobe Bryant visited the Philippines again for an endorsement with a local, I don't know if it's a local brand, but it was just a laptop brand. And he gave this advice to the Philippine team, and this is quite ironic. And Kobe said, just continue to play as a team. So, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He said that, you know. Okay, from Kobe Bryant. So maybe, okay.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. And Yeah, that's it. The FIBA Asia Championships, Filipinos. Well, who knows if they're listening, but congratulations, you guys. You have done a great job hoisting up that flag for us back into the World Championships. And I know perhaps you're going to get your ass beat up, but, you know, you did your best. And I know you guys will do your best when you get to the world stage in Spain. Pau Gasol sent a tweet congratulating the Philippine team. That was cool. And congratulating the three teams, Iran, Philippines, and Korea, for making it to the World Championships. Wow, that was great.
Are they talking about redoing the division so that the Oceania division that Australia and New Zealand are in will have to contend with the other Asian division to actually get into the Olympics? Isn't that going to be a thing now?
I guess that would work on the next FIBA tournament. I had a I don't know, I forgot from where I got that news. I think that FIBA would be changing their groupings or their formats so that every eligible country would be able to join. I'm going to have to point up too that the Philippines has been had been suspended from FIBA Asia for a couple of years because of so many private organizations would like to take over the Philippine national team, and a lot of private organizations would like to govern that national team to the point that FIBA would just suspend us because, you know, there's a lot of guys who'd like to hold your national team. Maybe you guys should shut up for a few years and get your team together and come back to us when you're good. And they lifted the suspension in 2010, I guess. It was a good experience. I didn't play. I was just watching from a TV set. But after that Korean game and the Philippines made it to the finals, I was in tears, man. Really. So,
Do you get to watch many games live, either PBA games or international games like that?
No. I'm really a sad guy. You know, having not watched anything of them, any of those games live, but. On my way to work, the Coliseum where they play on, I would pass by, from work, going home. I could hear the cheers from inside, and, you know, it's just me saying that I can't watch live, need to save money. But at least I should try sometimes, at least once.
Yeah.
But really, the Philippine team, they call themselves Gilas Pilipinas. Thank you, guys. Congratulations on your victory. Silver medal finish from the FIBA Asian Championships, and see you guys in Spain, as if I'm going to Spain. So,
well, you got an excuse now.
Oh, yeah. 1 month leave for the FIBA World Championships. Yeah, really.
Hey, look, if basketball's as big as you say over there, surely it's like, well, go. In fact, we'll pay you to go.
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably pay for themselves to go.
Yeah. National holiday.
Yeah.
Right on, yeah.
Yeah, the local support has been crazy. So hopefully, when the tournament starts next year, you know, a lot of people would, you know, a lot of Filipinos would migrate to Spain just to support the national team. But who knows? They might go crazy enough to do that.
I'd like to see that kind of passion for basketball here in Australia. I mean, it's basically just Ben and I doing a 3-hour NBL podcast.
Yeah. we're holding it up by strings and sticky tape.
We're doing our thing, and Kobe Rules is posting news in the forum. I mean, there's three of us. What can you do? A former NBL coach and a former Boomers coach, our national team coach, Brett Brown, has just signed with the Sixers.
Yep, it's official. He's going to be there.
Apparently people were telling him not to take the job, which is a ringing endorsement. Got to make you feel good about that choice. But he apparently does have a 4-year guaranteed contract. It remains to be seen how many of those 4 years he'll actually be on the sidelines. But good luck to him. Unfortunately, he's American-born, so we can't claim.
Oh.
We can't claim success there. I mean, like the local media claiming Kyrie Irving, first Aussie-born All-Star, yeah. First Aussie-born player on the cover of NBA Live. But, we'll take anyone we can get. But he's American-born.
Yeah, nice try. He's not from just American-born. He's from my neck of the woods. He's from New England, so hands
real
off.
America is what you're saying. East Coast, baby. Yeah.
I think Australia is a part of Asia, right?
Australasia, yeah.
It's, there's a whole issue there with, well, geologically speaking, we are on our own plate, if that makes sense.
Okay. You're on your own?
We don't know. We are the most isolated country you can think of, apart from...
So I was wondering, what I learned from school, Australia is part of Asia, so I was surprised to not...
It's kind of in the region.
Yeah,
the Australasia is the is the term that's often thrown around.
But then we're also Pacific Asia Rim sort of. Yeah, it's kind of I don't know. We're just randomly thrown where anyone wants us. Really, we're like a ragdoll.
It was tough trying to come up with the divisions for the All Pro Basketball mod because I had the Australian teams in there and I had Filipino teams. But I didn't want to just have, just be a Pinoy Australia division, which obviously could have gone over well enough. And I think I threw in like Dubai and a couple other like Middle Eastern and just called you guys the miscellaneous division.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about the country of Australia.
I didn't say anything. It was John. So.
No, it was just, I found it very difficult to try to classify where geologically everything should go. And yeah.
South Pacific, I think, is perhaps the best best classification. But yeah, it's tough. But go Australia. We haven't had a lot of basketball success, but...
We still suck.
Yeah. It is what it is, I guess. But since we have broached the subject of the NBA, there's a couple of things to note in the league. Looks like the Pistons have a new alternate jersey.
A Team USA seen. Alternate.
Yeah. Team USA alternate, yeah.
It looks like a Team USA uniform, except for the numbers. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be. I think it could have like a... You know how there's the Rip City for Portland? This one could be Motor City or...
Ooh, Motown.
Motown. Yeah, Motown. Or
that'd be
Motor
interesting.
City. Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like we'll be... When this podcast is up, it'll be out.
Of course.
It'll be out today. So, yeah. But generally, majority of it looks, from what we see of the back of it, it kind of looks the same as the current one, except for probably the first half of the top half of the side paneling. Looks to be a little bit different. So we'll see how the rest of it looks tomorrow. So yeah, I can't speak too much more about it. Just it looks to have the same sort of wishbone collar system.
You can tell that from the back.
Yeah, that's how good I am, man. That's how good
that's
I am.
That's the jersey buff. Yep.
You are something.
Isn't the Suns aren't the Suns also unveiling their jerseys?
They still haven't fully.
I think it's tomorrow, the 15th, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
So yeah, we should have two reveals tomorrow/today by the time this is up. So yeah, still worried that the Suns one's going to turn out a hot mess in the end. So, but it'd be, I guess it's a waiting see game. Just sort of something with the sort of Starburst sort of pattern. I think possibly what's on the shorts sort of is a little bit concerning, but I'll wait and see how it all turns out. And then for next week's episode, I'll either rip into someone or I'll give someone credit where credit is due. So what's this space?
Here's an interesting one. Tristan Thompson of the Cavaliers is changing his shooting hand from left to right. Yeah.
This one didn't work for me. Let's try the other one.
Apparently so. And that doesn't really happen all that often. Yep. Good luck to him, I guess. But that's an unusual thing. You don't see that announcement.
Did you just say that now? It's a lot of adjustment to do.
Yeah, well, I guess, like I say, it hasn't been working out. So there you go.
Yeah. I think that's going to lower his... stock in fantasy leagues and all that stuff, and so yeah, at least especially for the first weeks to sort of see what his shooting percentage is and other stats and all that are going to be affected by it. So yeah, his stock value in that would have dropped definitely for the first few months, I reckon.
Well, I'm just looking at his stats here. His first year in the league, he shot 44% from the field. Last year, around 49%. So it's not like he's doing too badly, even for a big man. So, just seeing which was he going? Was he going left or right? Yeah, he's going from being left-handed to shooting righty. So, well, there you go. So it's an interesting change for a couple of years into your professional career, and not for any reasons like a badly broken hand or something that would force you to go to the other hand. I know after that horrific injury that Andrew Bogut suffered a few years ago, he was using that left-handed hook a lot more because his right hand was not all where it needed to be, I should say. But yeah, apparently it's just a choice to start shooting with his other hand. Yeah. So yeah, good luck to him. Strange.
Hope it all works out.
Yeah. We'll throw out a prediction, but you know we're terrible at that, and we're saving those for the mailbag. But any other NBA news of note? It is much like the previous season for the NBA games. The NBA offseason has reached that point where there's very little happening. In fact, we had a predictions thread in the NBA and basketball talk section recently. What are your predictions for the rest of the offseason? And I just said nothing's going to happen. It's all the big names are off the table. You know, it was just. I mean, LeBron James threw his name out there for the presidency of the Players Union, and just like the dunk contest, he later withdrew it. He upset Jerry Stackhouse with his remarks. Yeah, that's the lead story on. Yeah, you know, there's a slow off season with nothing happening.
That's for sure. Like a lot of players, all they're doing is just still doing their promotional tours in different countries and that. Or
yeah, Kobe did.
Yeah,
players
LaMarcus Aldridge has just gone to, I think he's just gone to China, or he's on the flight now to China. So a couple other players doing their thing as well. Harrison Barnes, he's just done a Shanghai tour as well. That's all I've got at the moment. So, with regards to that, I'm just waiting for the media days and then. For when all the players in their new uniforms and from trades to rookie signings and all that officially happens, so
yeah,
then that's when the season can really start to feel like it's about to happen again.
Yeah, not long now. Nope. I believe under 80 days, under 70 days, possibly.
You're probably still just over probably about 78 days, maybe 77.
Counting it down. John, I believe you've got something about the sports guy.
Yes, the sports guy, Bill Simmons. This showed up on Reddit while we were doing the podcast. And, ooh, I want to talk about this because F the Lakers, that's why. Simmons did an article with Jack Nicholas? Yeah.
Nicholson.
Back on when NBA or when ESPN Page 2 was still around. And he was on that. And this was published on May 5th, 2010. And it's a longer article. I will still paste it to you guys. But the quote that is haunting and that is interesting, it said, "For five decades and counting, these fans have been blessed with West, Baylor, Wilt, Kareem, Magic, Shaq, and Kobe. Of the seven of the 15 best players ever, at some point, the gravy train will end. The Lakers will bottom out like the Knicks did last decade, submarined by bad moves, poor signings, and unlucky drafts. Their fans will flee in droves. Jack will pass away. The buzz will be gone, and that is how the NBA works. In a 30-team league, you can't always be lucky, not even when you're a big market team with deep pockets. I don't know if that day is 3 years off or 30, but it's coming." Holy crap.
Yeah.
So what I found interesting with this is that he talks about how the greatest players flock to the Lakers to, you know, be a part of the Lakers, you know, purple and gold and all that fun, you know, prestigiousness that comes with that. And the past couple of years, we have seen that kind of falling out. It's not so much, I don't think, with the emergence of the Clippers. I think that's kind of separate. It's just interesting to think how different things would be if that Chris Paul trade actually happened and he went to the Lakers because he wanted to go to the Lakers. And then when you have the Dwight Howard situation where we don't know what the hell he wanted.
I will say that it does seem he knew what he wanted.
Trying to be objective about it and remove my Celtics bias from it. I find it very interesting that so many people are down on the Lakers right now when they have Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. You still have those two great players, and they're talking down about the team.
Well, you've also got Kobe coming up a really serious injury, yep. And he is talking about being ahead of schedule and everything and breaking all records for the comeback, but playing at the NBA level, coming off that Achilles injury, there's still some uncertainty there, I have to imagine.
Oh, and I agree.
Especially for a player who's as explosive and athletic as Kobe is, even as he gets into his mid-30s.
Yeah, and for how long he's been in the game, you know, his body's going to take a toll on him. I mean, he's not going to recover like he's freaking 28, or I should say even 21 anymore, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't even mention Steve Nash.
True.
And I mean, it's MVP. Just exactly. And they still have a great core, you know, right there. And people are talking down about him and that the Laker luster is lost and all this fun stuff. And, you know, there's a talk about Melo going, you know, to the Lakers or, you know, that we talked about last week with those kind of rumors. I found it really interesting to think about how the shift may have happened with the Heat, as we saw the superstars go to the Heat, which, I'm sorry, in comparison, are nowhere near as prestigious as the Lakers. Where, you know,
look, there's no 60-year history, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it, you know, you're going to Dwayne Wade, who's there with, you know, one title under his belt, when you can go to the Lakers organization and, you know, team up with Kobe, because, you know, they could have taken pay cuts and gone with Kobe and all, you know, make the trades happen that way. It's just very interesting to think about how it feels like, in my eyes, it feels like there's been a shift where all of a sudden the Bucks could become a player if they have enough cap room to take all these superstars in and then build around them. Whereas players would in the past rather go to the Lakers because it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even say that because Kobe was drafted to the Lakers or, you know, not drafted to the Hornets and then traded to the Lakers. But so he didn't really have a choice to make. In the grand scheme of things, it's just, you know, he built that team. The team got built up back around him after the slump in the mid late 2000s, and I don't know. It's just it feels different now. And that Simmons quote kind of like really kind of drove it home as I was reading it. I was kind of like, okay, so he was kind of right.
Do you think it's perhaps because Kobe's not that willing to pass the torch? So that other younger players are saying, well, do I really want to come and play? Because he may still play another 2 or 3 years. He's hinted at it. This is his last year of his contract, but we don't know. Is there a case where a younger up-and-coming star or an established star, like they say LeBron will go there, for example, is the rumor, or Melo, are they going to say, well, why am I going to spend my prime or 2 or 3 years of my prime playing second fiddle to Kobe when I could be arguably just as successful somewhere else?
Well, there's two things to that. There's the people who think they're great enough, like Dwight Howard probably, who doesn't want to be in the shadow of Kobe. That's what I saw as the issue with the Lakers and Dwight. He didn't want to submit to Kobe as much as he needed to. Whereas now he is in Houston, he can be seen more as the actual star of the team, or at least on the same level as Harden and Lin. Well, definitely not Lin, but... It's just an interesting thing to think about that the kind of mentality that the players have in the NBA now, where they have that Kobe mentality that I'm the best and no, everyone's wrong, but I'm the best. Do as I say, but not as I do. That kind of mentality. I love that quote. That was fantastic. But it just seems like there's a two-way class. There's the players that don't want to go underneath Kobe Bryant. And then there's also Kobe, who still thinks he's the absolute best, can prove at times that he is still the best in the league. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to come back from this injury 100%, that he'll be playing this season at the same level as he always has. Ben, stop.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know. It just seems like the Lakers organization has changed.
Well, I guess people would point to the younger buses. Taking over the Dr. Jerry Buss passing away, and of course there's the situation with Phil Jackson last year when he indicated he was interested in returning, and
nope.
And then they just turned around and, well, we know how that went.
It's so, just so stupid. And it's so screwed up, and I don't care, because, you know, Celtics fan, I'm gonna love beating down the Lakers any chance the Olynyk can do it. Kelly, it's just oh, you guys are gonna get sick of that, Kelly Olynyk. But
hey, we put up with Andre Drummond for about 85 podcasts.
So. Yeah, so this is like a breath of fresh air.
At least Drummond was worthy of that praise.
It's true.
But I don't know. It's just it just feels like there actually has been a change, and that it's nothing but doom and gloom for them. And I mean, I could be wrong. In 1 year's time, we could be like, I can't believe Melo just jumped ship like that. And I can't believe that Dwight Howard traded back to the Lakers, or, you know, some BS like this. Yao Ming has returned under the Laker uniform.
Derrick Rose still hasn't returned. Yes.
But it's just, it just seems like, I guess I'm more curious. Do you guys feel like things have changed? And do you foresee, you know, once Kobe either withers away or goes away or retires, do you foresee the Lakers going through a Knicks kind of era that we've seen for the past 10 years before they got, you know, stuff kind of together with Melo and Stoudemire?
It's hard to envision, because the Lakers have always found a way to land on their feet. Like, even when they missed the playoffs for the first time in about 9 years, the first year after Kobe, Shaq left for the Heat. But then they got Andrew Bynum, and that helped them rebuild. And of course, then they got Pau Gasol for nothing. Sorry, Kwame. and you know, they've just found a way. But now that there is that shift that you alluded to, that change in ownership, that the respect isn't necessarily there, or the competence, let alone respect, maybe will finally be that tough period that all teams go through. I mean, I remember a few remarks during this offseason from Mavericks fans saying, oh, it's all downhill and everything, and upset. And I'm saying, well, for about 10 years or so, or over 10 years, you've had 50-win seasons and a couple of finals appearances and one championship. I mean, that's a pretty good run. And the Spurs, of course, have had a great run, and they've been, the way they've been able to restock over the last decade, and or even close to 15 years now, I guess. But yeah, it's we could be seeing that at long last with the Lakers. It's hard to envision, as I said, because, you know, you hate to pull a Magic Johnson here, but they are the Lakers, which is not an explanation. But no matter how many times the Magic Man wants to say it, it's not an explanation for their success. Although, in a way, it has been. They're LA. They've been able to bring the big names to the bright lights. But yeah, I can see them at least a couple of years of mediocrity, if not
a couple of years of Robert Sacre wonderfulness.
Well, you know, he's going to just dominate. It's going to be Lakers versus Celtics, Olynyk versus Sacre. You know.
I need to go record a 2K video. Let's wrap this up now.
Yep. Do it. But yeah, no, I can see it happening. Absolutely.
I reckon they'll go through. I reckon they'll probably go through it. Maybe a maximum of 3 years of trying to, you know, get something happening again with a star player. Like, I don't see Melo or LeBron going there, even after Kobe retires and that. I know. I don't think that there's that respect for the new next generation of these Lakers owners, even though it's still in the family and all that. They probably just don't have that kind of rapport or salesmanship in their dealings to kind of get the respect and the rip-off trades that they used to somehow freaking get. I mean, jeez.
So I just want to cut in real quick. Well, he's actually just left us, but Leon had to leave the call, so we'll thank you on behalf of everyone there. Sorry, go on, Ben.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for joining, Leon. It was
great. It was great to hear from you.
Yeah, it was great having you on, man, and hope to have you on again. I'm also a Laker hater, so I'm hoping I want the golden era of their failure to last as long as possible. So, I mean, the teams that I have supported are going through it, like Chicago and Miami, they've gone through it. So, why the hell not? And yeah,
I miss the days of Ron Mercer on the Bulls. It was a simpler time. It was an awful time.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
It was the worst of times. It was really the worst of times.
And it's going to be an interesting dynamic shift in LA that's going to come up. I don't think a lot of players want to, like a lot of superstar players want to sort of not so much be second fiddle to Kobe, but just don't want to bow down to him. Like, just don't want to feel like they're polishing the royal jewels of LA, in a sense. So,
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the lines in Coming to America just pops into mind. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'm all for the demise from their, them being the sort of crown jewel of the NBA and the fashion, or what's the word I'm looking for?
Just the trendy place to go.
Not so much that. Now I can't. The sort of
successful.
No. The glamour team.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So that's sort of what I was going for. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens and enjoy the roller coaster that is.
Go Thunder in the West. Yeah. No, but that is very interesting. Bill Simmons knows his stuff. I feel, I really enjoyed the Book of Basketball. I think I've asked you guys before. Have you read that? Or
I have it. I need to read it. I need to read it.
That's right.
I have homework. I have homework for this week.
Yes.
I haven't read it. I'm not one to really read books. Last book I read was 1999. Well, it was in 1999. So, fat chance.
There's books in the book 1999.
Yep.
There may have been. I don't know. There's a lot of books
out there.
They have
books on computers. They have books on computers now. So. I don't want to ruin it for you, Ben, but Snape kills Dumbledore.
No. Oh, wait, which thing is this? Is this Twilight or Harry Potter
Harry Potter.
Or that Hunger Games?
give me some credit.
I know. I was just staring. I knew which one you meant.
Yeah.
I knew which franchise it was. I was just
the one that is you know,
yeah.
You're not ashamed.
Gray Stash, no.
Yeah. So, mailbag, gentlemen?
Yep.
Yeah, well, we actually did get a few responses from people, and thank you very much. We would like to make it a regular feature, or certainly whenever you've got some interesting questions to ask, or throw out a discussion topic for us to talk about, and we'll see. Something like what we brought up earlier in the podcast, pet peeves in basketball games, our favorite this or that, or as far as the mailbag goes, what do you think will happen for this or that, so we can throw out predictions and look foolish for your amusement. So, looking at the first question here, this one comes from Kenny. If the NBA was to have two expansion teams to keep the even number in league, which locations do you believe would make the most viable candidates? John?
Vermont. And Mexico City, I honestly think that the next two expansion teams need to be Vegas and Seattle. Obviously, Seattle. That's if you guys say anything other than Seattle, I'm going to slap you.
Yes.
Seattle was definitely one that I was trying to think of one for the East.
I think that they can shift the teams from the West over to the East. I guess, aren't the Grizzlies in a Western team? So
Memphis is pretty much
shift them over. I mean, even if need be, take the Pelicans and shift them over too. Or I'm sure there's other Western teams that are close that we can shift over. But
well, hey, for the first couple of years when they're in the league, the Magic were in the Midwest division. So
yeah,
until they do the realignments.
As long as we don't do a metropolitan division like the NHL just did, I think we'll be all set. We just have these random teams everywhere. Metropolitan. It's just
miscellaneous.
It would be interesting because on Reddit, there was a interesting thing about comparing MJ and his time and how he was lucky because we had the expansion teams with the Heat and the Toronto with the Raptors, and how that took away a bunch of the depth from some of the teams because in expansion drafts you hold on to the top seven or eight players on your team, and everyone else gets picked from that. The new teams pick from those players. And talking about how the teams were weakened, so it allowed Jordan to dominate more and all that kind of fun stuff.
No,
so
I don't buy it. I don't buy it because the Bulls were also affected by it, and because I'm a Bulls fan.
But where would you go? What would you expand to?
Well, as you said, Seattle is definitely has to happen. They were robbed of a team. Let's not mince words there. And they've got the heritage, they've got the history, they've got the name, the colors and the logos, everything ready to go. It's got to be Seattle. Yeah, I wanted to say Vegas, but now I want it, because you brought it up, I want to pick another team.
never had me go first.
Yeah, yeah. Stolen my thunder. Much like the Oklahoma City did to Seattle.
Oh, but, boom! Oh!
Yeah, that worked out quite well.
Just get the aloe vera out because you just got burned.
Yeah, I mean, I keep wanting to look over at your exam paper, man. I just, you know, just what kind of region is underrepresented?
I mean, we could do some more teams in the heartland. I mean, Kansas could get a team. St. Louis could get a team. I know Virginia Beach, you know, on the eastern coast was talked about for getting an expansion team.
Well, if they bring back, because I was looking at this, and you know, they bring back the St. Louis. You know, there was the ABA team back in the day, so this is a kind of revival of that.
And with the Cardinals there for baseball, you know, there's a market.
Yeah.
Kentucky, they've got a pretty good basketball program. Their college basketball program.
And that's kind of what I mean, like the Midwest, or the central, the heartland, if you will.
Yeah.
Where we see all these great college basketball teams, but we don't really have a professional team other than Oklahoma City out there.
Right. Less. No. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with Kentucky, the Wildcats. Ben, since we've taken all the good choices.
Yeah. Well, I was looking. Crap. I did have a map plan. Here we go. Okay.
Vermont Joust Mings.
Yeah. Actually, I did have that idea up in mind earlier. Had you got like I said, St. Louis. Then you got Kansas, Mississippi, and Alabama, and all that. You know, there's not too much in the way to represent them. So, if they were to get a team, that'd probably be Louisiana. So, yeah, there's a couple options.
They got the Pelicans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, no one would want to see a third LA Anaheim team, right?
No.
So, F them.
Yeah. Well, California's got four teams. Texas has three. New York now has two.
I'm okay with that because New Jersey was right there.
Yeah,
exactly. Is ridiculously close. So
it's not a huge departure in a lot of ways.
But basically, two in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. Yeah, so it's not the Nets were originally from New York anyway. So
what do you guys think about going? You know, bringing back Vancouver or going down to Mexico City or Tijuana, or even if you know, I know they're talking about Europe, and that is just stupid. If they do anything with Europe, they need to just take the EuroLeague and integrate it with the NBA.
Yeah,
and then
I think we've talked about it before, but I mean, Steve Francis didn't want to go to Vancouver back in the day and force that trade to Houston. Do you think any NBA players want to get traded halfway around the globe? I mean,
nope.
So it's kind of pointless. So okay, we're gonna send all the teams over there for a month and play in Europe, and then it's gonna come back. Of all Stern's great ideas, that's not one of them.
Bring out the dingoes. I'm sorry.
You
can make fun of me for Moose if you want to.
That's right. I was just picturing a mascot with a baby in it.
Oh no, that might be too controversial even for Australia. But I don't think we've actually had a team called the Dingoes, which is amazing. But
surely there has to be one called the
in the Gold Coast Rollers. That actually answers Kenny's second point about an NBL discussion. Yeah. So that's two birds with one stone. So Seattle's definitely a go thing for all of us. That's just a logical choice. And then, a Las Vegas team, if they can sort out the gambling issues. Nobody gamble on that. Or a place like in the heartland, Kentucky, somewhere like that. Yeah, good question. Next question is from Gigabyte, and I know you'll love this one, John. Does anybody still care about the involvement of NiceKicks.com with NBA 2K14? And please give us some predictions regarding shoes. I'm going to throw this over to Ben, because he's the biggest shoe buff here.
Well, all right. I reckon they're more going to help 2K fix up a lot of the sort of materials and the sort of edible segments of the shoes and that, because there's a lot of incorrectness, we'll say, with regards to that. So I think it would just sort of be making the the editable parts more realistic to what the actual products are and stuff.
Just accuracy.
Yeah, basically. Just improving the accuracy and enhancing that sort of realism. I mean, a lot of the Jordans that they had, because of the way the color schemes and that, just made them look like fakes in a lot of ways, or they just weren't that many options to, like, there's even just some you couldn't even edit properly and all that, because they kind of screwed up on the layers and that to sort of be able to edit it, so it was kind of fixed. And I'm thinking something like that. There could be like the whole, you know, how there was like the whole Slam and Dime magazine, and how it has their, you know, where you have your Kicks mag, like,
some in-game branding for my career and things
That would be I think there'd probably be some of that. With especially, I think Nice Kicks is part of the whole Complex magazine branding. Yeah. I think it's part of that. It wouldn't surprise me if they would want to try and get in some advertising in some way to sort of get their brand out there a bit more.
We know it's not going to be exclusive because around about the time of E3, Nice Kicks posted a screenshot of Kyrie Irving's shoes in NBA Live 14. So it's not going to be a huge involvement. I guess they're going to perhaps do some consulting on both games, or like you said, have some in-game presence, like Gatorade or Slam Magazine, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I care about it as much as I care about Crew, I'll be honest.
you didn't like making your own shoe in my career?
I've never done it. Oh, have I done it? No, I don't think I have.
Wait a second. Was that the Nike path or the Jordan path?
I think I took Jordan's. I think I took the Jordan path.
Yeah. Okay, I think Nike, you get to make your own, which was hot.
Yeah.
I got to make my own signature Jordan brand shoes. I've done my second or third one now. In it. But like,
if it's not the fake Twitter, I don't care. Yeah.
for me, what they can do with it, like with that whole sort of concept, that like I've been wanting it for years, and that it's, you know, it seems to be about trying to get your brand out there in that sense. So you could do this whole thing with it. So if, again, any developers want to talk to me about it, I'm open. I have sent it to EA, this whole concept about it. But if it gets ignored, 2K, if you want to hear it, I'm always available.
And Majestico, if you're going to make another ball of beats, we can get authentic shoes in that
too. Oh, yeah.
So... Oh, Majestico. Yeah, that's how much attention I paid. Sorry. John, you do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? Say my name. No. Okay.
Laughing, smiley.
Who's your daddy? I mean.
Okay, it's ridiculous. I don't care. Here's my prediction. They're going to have shoes in the game.
No.
I did not see that coming.
Get off the podcast. It just crazy.
You are leaking information about the game.
I'm just throwing wild accusations and wild predictions out there.
Remember your NDA, damn it. No. Yeah. It's just... I don't care. Yeah. I can be as whiny as I want to be about it. It's just... it was cool being able to make my own shoes. I made two. And
Say what? Did you order any from the
PC version? You can't. But
you can't. Oh, there you go.
I don't think it links right. I mean, cool, great. That's awesome. I know it's a big part of basketball culture and as a whole. But as this part of it that I just don't subscribe to. I'm sorry. And as far as predictions, I think it's gonna be exactly the same as 2K13. We had good resolution on the shoes for once. I remember 2K12 being very, very muddy. Ooh, muddy with the shoe textures. I've been talking for too long. And this year they were a lot more crisper, a hell of a lot crisper than, you know, player faces and tattoos. So I don't think it'll be this. I think it'll be more or less the same. I think we'll see the integration again to buy your own shoes that you make in the game. And I don't know what Nice Kicks does. I have no idea what that. I should probably actually go to that website.
They're a shoe store.
They're a shoe store.
And they also just, you know, give news on upcoming releases.
So
sort of like sneak news and all that stuff. So there's a few other sites out
there. So maybe there will be
the city and
Maybe there will be some stuff about, you know, background on shoes, some historical content, which, you know, a screen in the game, which does nothing for me.
Okay, so basically Nice Kicks are an online magazine. They also have a store to purchase footwear and apparel and stuff. And they're essentially a sneaker blog. And so what they'll do is they'll inform of upcoming product from the major companies. They'll also do sort of post, like just sort of little reviews, and then... because they would tie in with Complex magazine, they have a lot of articles where it's, you know, the best 20 or 10 shoes of a certain athlete or a certain era. So they could integrate some stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see what they do in terms with that, and, you know, how effective that, or what their strategy will be for the 2K14. So yeah.
Yeah. John's actually had to leave, so we're down to a duo again for the first time in a while. But that might actually be for the best for the next question, actually. J.R. Locke has sent in a few questions, and the first one... Oh, actually, I'm sorry that John had to go and couldn't answer this question. who is your favourite Aussie player, all-time or current?
I'll let you go first on this one.
I'll go all time. I'm going to say Luke Longley, simply because he played for the Bulls on three championship teams. And
a pioneer.
A pioneer. He was the first Aussie in the league. He was one of the most successful. And I just always liked his character, just sort of laid back guy and crack a few jokes every now and again. And yep, he's a Bull, so he gets my vote. and current, got to go with Bogut. Because, again, successful, first Aussie to go first in the draft, and he's an Andrew, born in 1984, so, you know, I got to go. I got to show my loyalty there.
I'll go in the terms of within our current, in our in National League in that.
Okay, yeah.
Leroy Loggins, you know, he was the pioneer in Brisbane in this establishing the success in the Bullets, you know, which is my home team, who don't exist and haven't existed for a couple of years. And also Sam McKinnon, and particularly in the 06-07 season, he led the Australian team to gold in the Commonwealth Games, and then he led the Bullets to an unbelievable season where they won the championship and had a 21 or 24 game win streak. To win it, and yeah, just had amazing stats. He had what was described in Brisbane as a Darren Lockyer season, because in that same in 2006, Darren Lockyer, a rugby league player here in Brisbane, had such an incredible season as well. So, and he was getting all these accolades and awards because of that season. So Sam McKinnon went through the same thing.
Shame he never got it, made it to the NBA.
I know, he actually, after the 06-07 season, he did actually get a run with a couple of NBA teams during the Summer League and that. So, yeah, he had been in the NBL for such a long period of time at that stage too. He only played a couple more seasons before he actually laced up, hung up his shoes, so yeah, and retired. So, and he actually owns a pizza food or a pizza joint chain up in my state, and I think you've got a couple of the chain stores down there as well with Crust.
What's that again?
Crust.
Oh, he owns Crust, does
he? Yep, he owns Crust.
Yeah, that's definitely, we've got it down here. That's it's really nice gourmet pizza, this Crust.
He's still doing things, and actually he actually lived in my suburb when he was in Brisbane, so.
Oh, right on.
So yeah. He's only probably just a few hundred meters from my house, so that was pretty cool. International Australian player at the moment. I really like Bogut's ability in that and what he could do. It's just a shame he's had that injury run. Paddy Mills, his character, he's just underutilized.
He can wave a towel.
Oh yeah,
according to Jeff Van Gundy.
He's probably the most expensive mascot in any professional league. But yeah, he actually played well against New Zealand today. He had something like 20 something points and 4 steals against New Zealand.
Oh yeah. I hope he gets more of a run. I forgot about Patty Mills, but yeah.
Yeah, I hope he gets a lot of more run as well. We can claim a Kyrie in a lot of ways. The next player who I'm starting to hear a lot about is Dante Exum, E-X-U-M. He's only like 18, and I think he wants to play for North Carolina. I think his dad used to play there from what I've heard.
Not St. Mary's, because that seems weird.
Yeah, where most Aussies go. But I know Indiana, University of Indiana are after him pretty hard. But I'm hoping he becomes a Tar Heel, being a Tar Heel fan that I am. And if not, there's a lot of speculation whether he'll declare for this year's draft. He's projected in the top three or top five for the draft this year. If not, he's definitely most likely going to be number one next year from the reports or from the sort of like Draft Express and all that stuff that I've seen. And so, I've watched a little bit of his highlights. He had 33 points against Spain in the under-19 FIBA World Cup just recently. He's been doing a lot of the Adidas and Nike basketball camp, summer league camps and stuff like that, and he's getting a lot of attention right now. So I think he's going to be one to watch in the coming years.
Right on.
So yeah.
Next question, also from JR. If you could play one NBA season on a video game, what year would it be?
I'd really love to see a 95-96 season with full synergy data, like with that kind of amount of data where it'd be as accurate as possible instead of kind of still like a generic rating system and with all the players in it. And a relive in a next gen world, the sort of Heat era or the season, I think it was 2004-05 season, I think just before Eddie Jones went to Memphis, and it was him and Dwayne Wade and that.
And Shaq's first year in Miami.
Yeah, there's like a game that I've watched quite a few times during that season. It was a game where Wade got that amazing block on Amari Stoudemire and then jacked it up from 68 feet to end the third quarter. And Andre Agassi's running around on the court because him and Wade and Eddie Jones had really good games that one. And there's another key play where in the last quarter and in a pretty key phase when it was pretty close, where Eddie Jones managed to lock up Amari, the ball up on Amari, and that he forced a jump ball, and he forced the jump ball, and he won the jump ball against Amari, and then seeing Mike D'Antoni blow up, sort of relive that season again would be really cool. Was it that year? Or was it the previous year? Was the clothesline from Rajah Bell on Kobe?
I can't remember, no. Yeah. But if you could just, would that be your one, 0405 or?
Or the 95-96. Sort of between those two. Those are the ones that I'd been thinking about all day.
Sure. I'd definitely take 95-96 because of the Bulls and try to replicate the 72-10, and because that was just the year they went to do it. Since you took it, though, I guess that would be my one, but if I got to pick a different one, I'm just going to the next year, 96-97. The Bulls went 69-13 that year, so naturally I'd be trying to actually get the back-to-back 70 and get MJ the MVP instead of Carmelo, as it should have been. So I'd be rewriting some history there just to make it even better, because they obviously won the championship, so it would just be an even more dominating fashion. And, of course, the flu game. So, it would definitely be one of those late 90s Bulls championships, either the 96 or 97. Not 96, but since you got there first, I'll take 97.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. I did wonder whether that would be one of your choices, because that was my immediate choice. But that would definitely be mine.
That's why I also went for a second season to pick as well, just because I knew that would be one of your choices. Play it fair.
It would not be 2002-2003 full season, let's put it that way. 2000-2001 or whenever they won 15 games or whatever.
Or my 2007 for the Heat.
98-99 when they when Ron Harper was the leading scorer and they won 8 games or whatever.
Whew.
It was in the lockout season. Sure. Not certainly was very low. JR's last question. Why is creative play hardly in sports video games? I just say complexity, really. I think it might be just hard to implement exactly the way they want it to, or the way we want to see it. And there's just so much they're trying to cram into every sports game every year that I think it just falls by the wayside because they're always trying to fix up other things. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see it, and I hope they can find a way to get it in. I think it's just either been a bit difficult for them to find time and room and resources for it.
Yeah, for me, I think it's also creating the AI to defend against, you know, any possible exploits or cheese and gameplay weaknesses from, you know, because...
Yeah, oh, yeah, because if you just create this unstoppable play, then you just run it all the time and...
Exactly, you know,
computer stands there like an idiot.
Yeah, and, you know, the way the systems are now is the AI and the CPU and all that stuff, they're able to recognize the motions and all that stuff. So it's all pre-programmed in, obviously, and if you bring in something new, it's basically going to crap itself and say, what the, you know, the WTF moment and sort of, yeah, just fade. So, yeah, it'll have to do with a lot of the AI systems within the game at the moment.
Limitations. Yeah. Limitations of technology, limitations on time, I think. But it'd be really cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could all agree on
that. Yeah. Whether it can happen this generation or the next one, I guess we'll find out.
Certainly not the first year.
No, definitely not. Right now, think of this. For the next generation of console, the first 1 to 2 seasons will definitely be foundation building of where they want to sort of set themselves up potentially for the next couple of years. And then from there, you know, that's when they'll really be able to expand it. Because you got to think the developers are going to be learning the new engine or creating new engine, getting to know the new hardware. And then, so that's a huge time consumption right there. And the fact that, I mean, right now with the next-gen consoles, the developers will get an extra few weeks to maybe a month before these titles have to come out.
Yeah.
So that will help in such a small way. I mean, they might get 6 weeks, who knows, depending when we actually get a confirmation, which I think might happen Gamescom. I think we'll start hearing proper release dates, Gamescom.
Which is next week, I believe.
Yes, just 6 days away.
Well, there you go.
So I think that's what's going to happen.
I guess that's it, But we love to see it, but it's just, been tough to implement.
Yeah.
Adam asks, not sure if you've covered it, has missed a couple of the recent podcasts, but will you buy Xbox One for Live or stay with 2K? We are actually all buying PlayStation 4. John is as well, as we have mentioned in recent podcasts. But yes, we're all getting PlayStation 4, and we are all getting Live, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe I can answer on behalf of John on that, because he has said it before, he's picking up Live and the new PS4. I'm getting both, mainly because I'm running a site on basketball video games, and I want to cover both and do reviews and everything, so I will be picking up both. I'll be getting the PC version of 2K and the PS4 version of Live and 2K14 just so I can write reviews on it, and then basically see what's what. But I'll budget for that, especially since I'll have some gift cards to put towards the cost of the actual console when it comes out later this year. Are you getting both, or are you just sticking with Live's comeback?
I'll probably get Live straight away, because I want to spend as much time with that. Probably closer to Christmas time, especially if JB do their, you know how they have their friends and family sale around Boxing Day? And if the games are 20% off then, I'll probably do that. I'm not too sure if they're going to have it for the PS4 games, but we'll see what happens. If not, I'll get it shortly after release, but I'll probably wait for a slight price drop on that. Just for NBA Live, you sort of have something new and fresh again for the PS4. It'd be bringing in the new system and obviously the new game that I've been waiting for such a long time, obviously, since the failure of Elite 11 or failure to launch of Elite 11 and Life 13. So I want to go back to my roots and enjoy that experience.
Absolutely.
So, I will get 2K14 on PS4. I won't get it for PC. I won't patch for it as well. I've already decided that, mainly because it's still going to be current gen and base, you know, and my laptop more now is just a work thing. So once I get a better one where it's more gaming dedicated, then I'll get the when hopefully, you know, maybe it's 2K15 where it's PC or the PC version will be next gen related. Then hopefully I'll get it and I might attempt a few things here and there with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, we're all going to be supporting NBA Live, not in a fanboyish way. Certainly, we'll be telling the truth on it, or
yeah.
Certainly giving our honest opinions. But we all want to get back into that.
And anyone that you know, all the other community members and former and current community managers can vouch that you know I've been bluntly honest in my thoughts on things that they've done, mistakes of the past, yeah. And the directions that go in. So
it doesn't benefit us as consumers.
Yeah,
most money,
yeah. Basically. So
we're only robbing
us. No one wins if that's the case. I mean, yes men. No, I hate that idea of being a yes man. I am vocal as much as possible. Even from the call that Andrew has been on, where I've been on with the EA, I think he can vouch that that. I'm not the shy and quiet type when it comes to, or even the, you know, submissive or submissive form. So,
we told the, you know, call it as you saw.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and yeah. Even as drunk as I was coming back from a mate's birthday on this call, so yeah, it was good times being up at 6:30 in the morning for this call. Still in party mode, just because you were still drinking out just half hour just beforehand.
But when it comes to basketball games, we're all business, and we can just switch it off and switch it on.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yep.
So, last question here from Robert. Do you think NBA Live will have a career mode, and if so, will you play it? Well, I'll throw it over to you first, because I went first last time.
Yep.
Do you think NBA Live 14 is going to have any kind of single-player career mode?
Yes.
And will you play it?
yes, and hell yes. For me, like with Elite 11, I was really, really excited about the Become a Legend mode. I thought they had some really great ideas with it, especially with the bounce-back performance concept for it. You know, I thought that was a really great element that they added into it. You know, if you have that off game, or you know, you miss that game-winning shot, you have a chance to redeem yourself the following game, and that, which was great. And it didn't. And so when you didn't get all that XP that you wanted to sort of, you know, build your skills or whatever the full development was, you'd get that bonus reward back from those points that you lost out from achieving this bounce back scenario. So. If they incorporate something like that and a bit more fleshed out, fully excited to see what they can do with it, especially on the new hardware. Let's see.
Yep. Don't want to ride the fence and say I'm 50-50 on it. I'm not 100% sure. I'm thinking because they do have the basis in Become Legendary that there's going to be some kind of extra mode, especially because in the Twitter Q&A, Scott did actually mention they think, you know, we think you'll like what we're doing with modes this year. So I'm glad to hear that attention has been paid to modes, because as important as gameplay is, the replay value is in the modes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm big on Dynasty and of course Association and my career in NBA 2K13. So I'm going to say yes, there will be. I'm going to also say it's not going to be as deep as my career, so anyone expecting that kind of depth is probably going to be disappointed. But I think if there's a solid foundation, then you've got to make that start. You've got to start somewhere, and if they can polish up Dynasty and they can get some kind of single-player career mode in the game, they're off on the right foot on the new generation. So I think there will be, not going to be as deep. And yeah, I'll definitely try it out as well, because whether that ends up being the mode I play most, because my career was the mode I played most in 2K13, if it turns out to be that, I don't know. I'll have to see. Well, of course, I have to see whether it's in the game. EA Sports is in the game, but I have to see if it's actually implemented first, and if it is, if it does have that longevity and appeal to want to play it a lot, I might just go back to Dynasty, but I'll certainly give it a shot. And it would be a good idea for them to do it, as I said, because NBA Live 10, as much as that was a right step, a step in the right direction, I should say, it was very light on modes, or single-player modes,
yeah.
Because they took out All-Star Weekend. You did have Dynamic Season, which was interesting, and I believe that should have a place in the games because it's a fun concept. But you had Dynasty that hadn't been worked on for a couple of years and had a few bugs. And
it was kind of stale at that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. So some attention has to be paid, especially after a 2 or 3 year layoff for the game. You've got to come back strong with the gameplay, of course, but you need the mode, so I think they're going to have some kind of career mode in the game.
That's for sure.
So, yeah, I guess that's going to wrap up the mailbag. Thanks, everyone, again, for sending in the questions.
Thank
and
you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our answers and our predictions, and so we can come back and laugh at them if some of them turn out to be horribly wrong. But definitely a lot of fun to answer some questions and get talking about that stuff. A shame Leon and John both had to drop out for other commitments, as it is Ben and I doing it at about 2, doing this recording at about 2:30 in the morning. Going on 2:30 in the morning, so we'll be also wrapping up shortly as well. But keep sending in those questions. We'll have that sticky thread in the forum, and we'll be sure to throw out a reminder every week that we're going to record within the next 24 to 48 hours and to get your questions in and keep sending them in. I'm sure some of them will double up, but you know, keep checking out the podcast here if we listen to see if we've answered them, and keep sending us the new ones. But yeah, so thank you again, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll keep doing it. And once again, if you have any suggestions about topics that you might want to have hear us have a roundtable discussion on, then feel free to suggest those as well. But I guess that is going to wrap it up for this week. So
two quick things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Next gen.
Yes, two light gen next gen news. Obviously, in light with the Gamescom in a couple of days. Microsoft have touted that they'll be showing a new exclusive. Sony have sort of kept things quiet, but I think they're going to come out with a lot of surprises. They have hinted that Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show are going to be, they're going to be showing a lot there. So, but yeah, I reckon we'll get a lot more final details, obviously, on the hardware for both consoles.
Release dates, maybe?
Yes, yes. I'm really thinking the release dates will be 100% confirmed. But there has been, I made a comment last week that there's only one thing that Microsoft haven't done a 180 on, and guess what they did about 48 hours ago? The final 180, and that is regards to Kinect 2.0, and that it's not required anymore to, so it won't brick your console if you haven't plugged it in or turned it on. So that's some good news, especially for the people who, like myself, who are fearing that it could be hacked and someone could be uploading the video and the audio of what you're saying or what you're doing in front of your camera, and it could be sold off or distributed in other ways that violate your privacy. But for the poor people that now have a Kinect that they didn't really want, for the pre-orders are probably cancelling in hopes that maybe we'll hear about a cheaper version of the Xbox One that doesn't come with the Kinect, so who knows, maybe we'll hear something like that. But yeah,
you'll just miss out on Baller Beats, I suppose.
Yeah.
2.0.
But yeah, it kind of does weaken the stance on where they're at with it, because they're forcing developers to implement a device, and now I can see this taking out the...
Well, I'm guessing there might have been some pressure from developers saying, you know what, we've got absolutely nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
With this Kinect, you know, it only suits certain genres to really do anything meaningful.
Yeah, or just to switch from one thing to another in the task sort of thing. So
yeah.
So yeah.
It is funny that they've made that 180. They've gone back on everything.
Yep.
And there's always that conspiracy theory, which we've talked about before, like, oh, we'll introduce this stuff and then back away from it and say, hey, look, we're listening. But no, I just think they miscalculated.
Yeah.
And now they've had to scramble, because they've probably looked at the pre-order numbers and thought, wow, this is not what we anticipated. This is not the 1 billion consoles we thought we'd sell by the end of this generation.
Yeah. I mean, from rumors that I've heard, you know, it was between 4-1 to 10-1 that the PlayStation 4 was outselling the pre-orders of the Xbox One and that. It's funny now. All their policies, all their original policies, and some that they were so hard-lined about that they could not change. It's, you know, it's not a flick of the switch sort of thing, and that it's all been reversed. So
if you didn't like any of those policies, they have a console for you.
Yeah.
Two consoles, in fact.
So yeah, I don't know. It's such a miscalculation by them,
It is, and it might let them recover, and it's nice to see and positive. But unless I win one or something, I'm quite happy to just stick with my PS4 coming up in the next generation.
Yeah, and I can see people in the end. Yeah, the consumer has won, but it leaves a stain.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, on Microsoft's behalf, in not really paying attention at all. So, just through sheer arrogance. I mean, just from a lot of the way that this sort of product is becoming right now. I mean, look how bad Vista was. I mean, Windows 7 was refreshingly good. I mean, I have no desire right now to go to Windows 8.
Yeah.
I mean, I use it a little bit on the tablet that I have, or using that on the rare occasion.
Which is what it's good for, because that's what it was designed for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'll wait and hold out on 8.1, aka Blue, when it comes out, and sort of see if it is comparable to Windows 7. But yeah, it's and some of the other things that I suppose they're doing, like look how bad the Zune turned out for them, and what else have they done that sort of failed recently?
Yeah, I guess it'd mostly been the Xbox. But
So, yeah, just I know it's the sort of anti-consumer policy is.
It hasn't been a good 12 months for them with their stuff. But it's good for anyone who's getting the Xbox One and was not too happy about that. It's good that they have listened to the complaints, and that's probably one of the smartest things they've done. In some time.
Yeah. Actually, I was watching a news show here. You know, Andrew, you'll know the project.
Yes.
And they were talking about the sort of Australia tax that a lot of companies sort of dub for when they're selling product to online and stuff like that.
Yep.
Apparently, there was one Microsoft product that you could actually fly to or from Australia to the US, back again, back over to the US, and then back again to buy the product from a US store, and it would still work out cheaper than buying it in Australia, or buying it on the Australian website.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about the markup before, but so yeah, let's get onto those gift cards.
Yes.
is that all we've got for the? Because we've been running about 2.5 hours now.
Yep,
and
that was the last points that I had from my notes, so yeah.
No worries. So we've covered a fair bit in this this week's podcast. Had brought in Leon to be a fourth member of the panel. Fun as always for episode number 41 of the NLSC podcast, dedicated, as we said, to Kelly Olynyk putting on a clinic. as I said, that's going to bring the show to the close. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. I'm stumbling over my words because, again, it is 2:30 in the morning. Subscribe to us on iTunes and or continue to stream it on nba-live.com, of course. Just click on the podcast link. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. We're also on Twitter, since everybody is these days. It's what the cool kids do. twitter.com/thenlsc or @thenlsc if you really want to be cool. And, of course, the NLSC itself, once again, nba-live.com. We do a lot of awesome stuff there with basketball and basketball video games. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. On behalf of Leanne and John, Jas Ming, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kane, and I'm not going to do any shots like Kendrick Lamar.
See you next week.
See ya.